Okay, everybody, it's 4:30. Let's get going. We have three items on our agenda. As you see, I've called the meeting to order. And Jess, if you could please note the roll, I think everyone's here. Anyone like to make a motion to approve the minutes from last time? That's a motion by Wendy, seconded by Jessica. Okay, comments on the agenda? Seeing none, they are hereby approved. Item number one is general public comment, and we have been given our registrants for the evening, and no one has signed up for general public comment. Are there any disclosures or recusals? No? Okay. Then, Jess, if you could please give us an agenda overview, we'd appreciate it.
That would be my pleasure, Chair. Thank you and good evening. We have a pretty light agenda this evening, which is a little lighter than we had originally anticipated. But there are two public hearing items, starting with item number two. This is 823 East Washington Avenue. This is an amendment to an existing approved comprehensive design review for signage. What this does, it changes the sign type and the sign location to a non-qualifying elevation. So originally the approval included a wall sign, and they're switching to a projecting sign. And the wall that they are locating the projecting sign on is not adjacent to a street or a parking area served by the building. The UDC is an approving body on this request, and staff is supportive of the request based on the findings as noted in the staff report. Also, staff has recommended this item as a potential consent agenda item. Item number three, which is 2450 East Washington Avenue. This is a new multifamily building in Urban Design District 5. With regard to this item, there has been an error in the public noticing of this item, which has been corrected this week. But with that, the only action that the commission can take on this item this evening will be to refer it to the October 23rd Urban Design Commission meeting. And then last but certainly not least, there is one item of new business. This is item number four. It's 501 North Henry Street. This is an alteration to a planned development for exterior and changes to an existing building that include the installation of a mural. The UDC is an advisory body to this request, is an advisory body on this request, however, advisory to the Planning Division Director instead of the Plan Commission, as noted in the staff report. So with that, we have two items that, well, we'll be taking action on all three items this evening, but one consent, one referral, and then one formal discussion and action. And I'll hand it back over to you, Chair, to kick things off.
Okay, thank you. Julie, for those who wish to participate today, what do they need to know?
Well, I'd be happy to tell them what they need to know. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our virtual meeting. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. For commission members, if you are able, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. In addition, please use the raise hand feature to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or to note your vote in the event of a roll call vote. The chair will do their best to call on commission members and staff in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. For members of the public and applicant teams who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. There is a 3-minute speaker time limit for individual speakers and a 10-minute time limit for development teams. Staff will let you know when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the body may ask you a question. You will remain muted until the chair calls on you to answer a question. If you need to share documentation with the commission, please send it to the email listed on today's agenda. Please do not use your video. If you turn your video on, it will be turned off. Back to you, Chair.
Thanks. Okay. Is there a motion by anyone who might like to approve item number two on the consent agenda? I see Wendy's hand raised, and I see Jessica has seconded that. Any discussion on that motion? Okay, seeing no hands raised, then by unanimous consent, item number two is approved. With regard to our next item, number three, as Jess mentioned, we do need to take action to refer this to October 23rd. Wendy.
I'd like to make a motion to refer this to the October 23rd meeting.
Okay, seconded by Shane. Okay, any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, then by unanimous consent, item number three is hereby referred to October 23rd. And that gets us to our new business agenda item, which is 501 North Henry Street.
We have Dan Seeley, Ray Most, and Brian Kehoe all here available to answer questions.
Okay, so then no one wishes to make a presentation. We can go ahead and just ask questions to staff or the applicants who are signed up to answer questions. Alder Rommel.
Thank you, Chair. I would just like the applicants or even if staff, if it's better for just answer, just to go over like what's are all the ways you can apply a mural to like a building? And I serve on the Madison Arts Commission, so I know just enough to be dangerous. And it seems often people apply things to the building, but it sounds like you're going to do this to the surface. So could the team talk about what they learned when they researched that approach?
Marsha, I guess I can start the conversation too. It looks like Dan just unmuted himself. But in general, there are multiple ways you can apply a mural to a building, right? In this particular case, we're talking about painting the mural directly on the wall. But there are panel installations, and I've seen those done in both wood and metal. I think there's also acrylic panels that can be used. I've also talked with the Arts Commission group as well, and there's an adhesive that can also be applied directly to a building surface. I don't know how well that works with concrete, seeing as how it's porous. But if it were an adhesive that were applied to a panel system, it may work a little bit better. I don't know to what degree Dan's team looked into other applications of murals, but in this case, it does look like they are treating the surface of the building wall prior to the painting, and then they're also sealing it to help with longevity. But I'll certainly let Dan's team talk a little bit more about their approach and how they're painting that and treating the surface.
I mean, I can speak to that. This is Brian. I mean, yes, there's a lot of different ways of getting mural imagery onto a wall. I mean, as far as through our experience and just surveying the site itself, as was just mentioned, this is a porous, smooth concrete wall. And there are high-level commercial products that are designed specifically to be received for long-term application onto walls like this. And when we are painting on exterior surfaces, I mean, we only use the highest-end commercial product just because the longevity and the strength of the product itself is in ours and everyone's best interest. Not only that, but it holds its pigment longer than any other product, including printed products that fade at a much higher rate.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Jess, can you go to one of the photographs of this lovely edifice. There we go. Okay, and then I don't think there's a perspective of the mural, but my question is, are the banners going to remain?
No, the plan is for those to be removed ahead of time.
Okay, and not replaced. Okay.
Correct.
Jess, could you go forward, I guess, to one of the images of the mural? Okay. I guess my biggest concern with this, and well, I'm stating my concern, but it's a question also. My concern is that the mural goes right to the edge of the building, and what it's going to look like when you turn the corner. It is concrete, so it's going to be somewhat of a rough undulating corner. And I don't know why. Maybe you didn't hold the mural back one concrete panel on each side, and one concrete panel where it says finished floor there on the elevation, because as we know, all good artwork really deserves a nice frame. And with the rest of the building being concrete, I think having a little bit of that concrete, original concrete, turn that corner and frame that mural, I think it will have a more pleasing effect when you view it coming down the street. Had you considered that?
We consider all of those things as far as framing versus flooding, as we call it. We believe that there's a high level of impact that it more becomes a part of the architecture when it's flooded as opposed to contained in a frame. And we believe just traditionally with a lot of the large mural sites around the world that flooding is has a big impact, especially in urban environments like this.
Okay, Jess, could you go back to the photograph? If you were then if we go to that flooding thesis, then what are would you then bring it back around the corner there, and at least and then paint that whatever it is, 12 inches or 8 inches of concrete, so that is a slab that is painted versus a, you know, when you change colors or materials on an outside corner, it stands a chance of looking very much more two-dimensional and more difficult to resolve that corner. So are you planning on returning that corner to the I guess to the sides where that so that you're painting the entire vertical slab?
No, the natural stopping point for us is the width of the wall itself and not to paint the return.
Okay. That's all the questions I have. Any other questions? Russell.
Hello to the applicant. And Jess, if you could go to the picture of the mural. I appreciate the detail on the architectural elements that are kind of coming through in the picture. And I wanted to ask about the center of the building has the CMU block and the mortar joints are coming through in the picture. Are you accentuating those mortar joints? Are you going to paint the mortar joints a different color, or is this picture just trying to reflect that, you know, that depth change might be kind of perceived in the image?
No, this is just kind of showing. I think when we mock this up, it was just to show that that is that joint space,
A
and
different
that there,
texture, a
yeah,
different
there's a
material.
different texture behind it. But once the application is completed, I mean, those elements, because of the impact of the image on top of the surfaces, those elements will not be noticed. They'll be pushed so far back because of the vastness of the image itself.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I just tend to agree to not maybe accentuate those mortar joints. You know, yeah, I agree with the planner. Thanks for clarifying that. That's my only question, Cliff.
Okay, thank you. Wendy.
Can the applicant clarify that the white is actually going to be a white paint and it's not just blank concrete?
Yes, that will be white paint and not blank. The entire wall will be covered with primer and then paint on top of it.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions for the applicant or staff? Last call before we close the presentation portion. Okay. Thank you. Then we will close the public hearing portion, public presentation portion, and go for deliberation amongst our commissioners. Shane.
Thank you. I'll just testify that as a building along what used to be my lunchtime walking route, it is very stark the way it is right now. It does not fit into the neighborhood. It's in stark contrast to the lovely neighborhood around it. So I think this is an incredible gesture. I think it's a beautiful piece of art. And I look forward to seeing it happen. So I am in support of this submittal.
Thank you. Russell.
Cliff, I have a question for you. I don't know how long I'll be able to ask you questions. If the painting did go around the outside corner, I'm curious how we think those kind of nonlinear those lines would be resolved, or and how would they carry? You know, I'm thinking about the Sandhill Cranes curved back. How would that turn the corner?
Jess, can you go? I think there is a photograph of the building from the west, maybe. Here you go. There you go. Well, I guess my initial concern is that with the flooding, it's not as well integrated into the building as it could be. Had they elected to hold the mural in one panel, top and side, again, I'm a little skeptical of how well integrated it will be, especially since there's all these primary colors. So if it were, you know, to wrap around, it would give it some thickness. I don't know how they would, you know, deal with the art itself, but my preference would be to frame it intentionally and integrate it a little bit better with the architecture, since it is going to be a huge mural. And so I was really asking the question, Russell, in order to find out how this flooding is going to terminate. It's not going down to the ground. You know, it is going to terminate at a panel point where the hip roof is, and straight across there. So it's kind of doing that at the bottom, just not the side and the top.
Thank you.
Rafiq.
Yeah, that was my only comment, was like, if you're going to do it at the bottom, and I felt like you should kind of maybe consider doing it at the sides. If not, just bring it all the way down and let, you know, that roof interrupt the mural. But since you're stopping it above that roof line all the way across, it kind of made sense in my mind to do that. But I'm also, I don't do murals. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you on if the flood is going to happen, you go all the way down to the ground. Wendy.
Yeah, I'm not bothered by terminating it at the edge. I'm more bothered by it not coming all the way down to the ground and passing by that hip roof.
Mm-hmm.
Oops, sorry.
Any other discussion? We're not here, and I'm glad nobody's commenting on the content of the mural, because that's really not our purview. It's more about how it integrates with the architecture, as it were. Russell.
I'll give a shot at a motion. Make a motion for final approval, given the clarification that some of the architectural materials aren't going to be sort of highlighted in the mural. The mural is just an image that's going to be on top of the existing architecture. And I think my motion will just carry a recommendation or a preference that the artist consider the flooding continue down to the bottom and be interrupted by that gabled roof form. But I think just the wording I would suggest is a preference or a recommendation.
Okay. I'm just wondering if you, before we ask for a second, if you could make your motion either require it or not require it.
And then I just want to note one more thing too, Russell. We're advisory on this, so we're not making a motion for approval. We're making a recommendation. So I just want to be really crystal clear that this is going to the plan director who will make the final determination. And so as much guidance as we can give her on her decision making, the better. So
Given
be
that, yeah,
clear
given
on the
that,
conditions.
thank you, Jess. That helps me answer Cliff's request, which is I'll use stronger language than to say that we require the flooding to continue below the line, given that we're advisory. Does that help clarify both of those points?
Okay. All right. Is there a second on the motion? Seconded by Jessica. Okay. Any discussion on the motion? No discussion. Marcia.
Like Shane, has spent a lot of time walking by that building. This will be just a fantastic thing that you're going to add to it. And I don't know how long it will last, so I guess there'll be some future UDC and planning director that looks at the next iteration, but I think it's a great addition. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Shane.
Yeah, I want to respond to the idea of it flooding down to the bottom, and I just kind of wondering out loud if that creates any sort of complications that the artist might have if they were given the opportunity to express them. So, for example, the landscape and the planting kind of conceals much of that base. I wouldn't necessarily want to remove the planting in order to actually like physically get back there and paint it. And yeah, you can see that there's other elements, the walls. I don't, my personal opinion was that it didn't need to flood to the ground to be successful. But I do think, I don't know if it's possible, but it would almost be good to kind of get some feedback from the artist or the applicant on that idea. Likewise, I think there's probably a distance off of the grade that we want to hold just because of weather and splashing and snow and all that and the longevity of the finish down at the base.
Well, I think flooding means things can go in front of it. It is going to be a very durable paint. If you could go back to the photos, Jess. Yeah. Oh no, that one. Yeah. So it looks like there's a wall, and there's something behind there, and it just sort of disappears. I think that's the whole point of it. We don't really care if it's concealed, more that it just sort of goes to infinity, and then things just like that box, lobby box in front of it. You might imagine the mural continuing on the inside since they are flooding it. That's how I see it anyway. And I hesitate on asking the applicant to weigh in and lobby now that we have a motion that we're discussing, but we haven't voted on it, and that's why we're discussing this right now for people with their reservations, kind of inform them when we do take the vote.
Okay, yeah. No, thanks for that clarification. And I think personally, aesthetically, it's going to be successful either way. So I'm inclined to allow the applicant to proceed with sort of the bottom cutoff the way it was first proposed, just so you're all aware of how I may now vote.
Okay.
Because I am still in support of the proposal for sure.
Well, there is something to be said about bringing it down a little bit closer to eye level too. I don't know really how high that little wall is. Maybe that's a moot point. But right down where you're going to see it the closest is where they're not painting it. Russell.
And Shane and all, I guess it might have been clear, but I think the intent for my motion would be that because we're advisory, there is going to be another round of discussing this project. And I think I feel a little more empowered to say, in terms of an urban aesthetic and urban design, I think bringing some color down to the street is a good thing. But I'm with you. I'm sympathetic to it being for the artists to still be able to do what they're trying to do as well. So my hope is that, further deliberation on the project outside of our body will sort of come to the final solution. So thanks.
Yeah, if it was me, I'd paint that block wall and everything, maybe not mural, but one of the blues or the greens or something, and integrated the whole thing in there. But that is that's I mean, I don't know that we would really want to increase the scope of the project. Okay, so any other discussion on the motion for final approval? And the motion recommends flooding the mural down to the bottom of the concrete wall. Okay, I don't see any hands raised, so we will go ahead and vote. All those in favor of this conditional final approval, please signify by raising your hand. Okay. One, two, three, four, five. All those opposed? Okay, 5-1 with the chair not voting. Then the project is approved. Thank you very much. And it's 5:02, and we're done. I mean, we've got a few things on our agenda, but I'm wondering if we could get out of here by 5 o'clock.
We'll see. Let's see. I have a secretary's report for you all. With regard to recent Plan Commission actions, there was one. You'll recall 6910 Siebold Road. The Plan Commission did approve that, accepting our conditions of approval as their own. We are going to see that at a future upcoming meeting. I believe they're aiming for November 6th. So we'll be seeing them a relatively quick turnaround. Our next regular business meeting is October 23rd. This one's definitely going to be a little bit more on the robust side of things. We'll be talking about 2450 East Washington Avenue, which we would have talked about this evening, but we did refer it. We'll have 619 through 669 West Mifflin Street. This is the Trinitas multifamily student housing project on West Mifflin. We'll have 5152 Tradewinds Parkway. This is a multi-tenant building in Urban Design District 1. We'll have a CDR sign request out on Manufacturers Drive. And then we have some exterior changes to an existing building in a planned multi-use site on the east side of town at 4801 Anamark Drive. So we have quite a few on that agenda already. I believe there is one information, well, we already had our informational submittal. Actually, no, there's one next week for the 23rd as well. So we'll see if anything gets added. But that's where we're sitting right now. Then I also wanted to note that we will be gaining three new members at our November 6th meeting, provided that Common Council confirms them on October 29th. So sadly, what that means is that October 23rd will very likely be our chair extraordinaire's last meeting with us. Like I said, pending the appointment and confirmation on the 29th with Common Council. So I know, right? What that also means, though, is that I wanted to mention that we'll be holding elections here either on November 6th or shortly thereafter for chair and vice chair. With that in mind, I wanted to encourage everyone to really think about it, right? So we're going to have quite a few new members, but we have quite a few of you have been around for some time and could provide some really good leadership there. So I really wanted you to all think about it and really consider it. Noting that the chair does play a critical role in kind of the backside of things, with regard to making sure the meeting runs smoothly. The chair is able to participate in the discussions. Sometimes they really help facilitate. Cliff does a really good job of kind of getting us out of our shells and kind of encouraging us to talk a little bit. The chair is also allowed to provide feedback. They're not always allowed to vote, but they can in certain circumstances. And they're not allowed to make motions either. So I just want to throw that out there so everybody's clear on the role of the chair. But if you're interested, definitely think about it. If you have questions, I'm certainly happy to answer those. But think about chair and vice chairs, both nominations and yourselves considering it. So I want to throw that out there. But that's all I know.
Okay, thank you, Jess. Is there any other business by members? Russell.
Jess, just a question. Is it, I think I'm hearing you say that, we could vote on November 6th, but maybe the meeting after. I mean, it seems like pretty reasonable to wait at least one meeting for new members. I'm trying to
Yeah,
picture
there's a
how much
lot going
we
on.
vote. And yeah, okay.
I
All
just
right.
want them to be up to speed too, and it really all depends on how quickly we can get that going, right? So they have to be confirmed, and I can't do any orientations until they're confirmed. And once they're confirmed, I can do orientations, get them the packets and the paperwork and all that good stuff, and get them up to speed. So I'm thinking the 6th might not be the meeting that we do that at, but I'm thinking probably our second meeting in November might be a good one.
Thank you.
I agree, Russell. It's a lot coming at you really quickly. So,
Okay. Thank you. Jessica.
yeah, I'm lost. I thought we already offered up Shane as chair.
Well, Shane will be the chair until elections. And then the reason you have to do elections is because you will be without a vice chair. And so when you elect a vice chair, it will also be a good idea to confirm Shane, nominate and confirm Shane as your continuing your chair, or see if there's anyone else who's interested. Since we
Got
did
it.
not do election, well, we did do elections
We
this year
did,
already.
yeah, recently, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just in case we scare Shane away on the 6th, we don't want to lock him into it, force him to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm voting Cliff.
I don't know if you can vote for people who are not on the commission, but you can certainly, make me a write-in.
Yeah, I was right in. It's all right in.
I'm Cliff Goodhart and I approve this message.
You could also see how I do on the sixth and then make your decision after that.
You're my
gonna
guess
rock
is
it.
Shane has been on the commission a long time, and I think you're going to do a really good job, Shane. And I think that I hope that you're looking forward to it. I think that the commission needs, especially with three new members, someone with some experience here to keep the meetings going and doing the things that Jess mentioned.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I've definitely warmed up to the idea. I'll say that much.
Good. All right. Any other? Let's see, Jessica, you have
Yeah,
your
I
hands.
had a comment on a project that we approved, and I don't know if this is the right forum, but I want to ask about it anyway. There's a parking ramp that went up on the corner of Sheboygan and Sego over in Madison Yards, and it has a big, really hideous blank wall. What's up with that? Did we approve that?
Long and short is yes. So that is a phased development, and that blank wall. So first of all, that is the most talked about wall in the entire city of Madison. The
How many
development team.
emails does Tim Parks get every single week, Jess?
I bet we get one solidly, at least biweekly on that one. And the alder is also very involved, and the neighborhood is very involved in the discussions with the development team on what can be done with that wall. In fact, I did meet with the development team a couple weeks ago. So that's a phased development, right? Madison Yards. And what is supposed to be in front of that wall is multifamily residential. So multifamily residential is supposed to wrap that wall and hide that parking. We will be seeing something come forward. I'm thinking, based on my conversation with the development team, it's looking like they're going to do a minor alteration to make some floor plan adjustments. But what was originally approved there looks like it will be constructed with some minor tweaks. So I don't know that it's something that the commission is necessarily going to see, but it's something that we already did see and approve.
Wow,
So
it's
hopefully, I think
awful.
spring is when they're thinking about moving forward for that with that. So there are some things happening, and I know, like I said, I know the alder probably gets more emails than Tim Parks does, unfortunately, on it. But it is a very, very concerning and talked about wall.
Yeah, I almost drove off the road looking at it. Thanks.
Yeah, I was over there last weekend too, and was like, "Oh God, what?" Like, where'd that come from? I was like, that's the wall they're all talking about. Got it.
Yeah, you hate to think it's a bait and switch, to just to get a parking ramp up, and they seeded it. And it's a beautiful little hillside and
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
a gray wall, but they got to hold their feet to the fire.
Yeah. No, so I'm glad. I'm happy to see some movement on that one, and I think we're seeing some movement on the hotel that we approved. I know they were in for site plan review too, and I signed off on that not too long ago. So we'll be seeing some shovels and some dirt moving out there for sure, either at the end of this year or the very beginning of next. So,
Okay. I would say
thanks.
that some of the landscape, the public realm landscape and hardscape stuff that they're doing there seems like it's pretty high quality. And once the buildings fill in around it, I think it's going to have a really nice feel driving around and walking around in there. Okay, any other business by members? Okay, no other hands raised. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Then, by unanimous consent, we are adjourned at 5:07. Thank you.
Thanks,
Have a good night,
everyone.
Bye.
Bye bye.